If you could turn, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 40. To Psalm number 40. Psalm 40, and with God's word open before us, let us bow in a word of prayer and ask for God's help, that even as we read it, that there will be even a phrase or a word, or even a verse that speaks to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for Thy Word. I thank Thee for all the promises that are contained within it. Father, I thank Thee for that promise. Faithful is He that calleth You, who also will do it. Father, Thou dost know my heart. And Father, Thou dost know the great need that I have for Thy help. Father, to stand here is a very solemn thing. And I ask Thee, Father, for Thy help to proclaim Christ this evening. To proclaim Him accurately, but also, Lord, to proclaim Him passionately, because He is real. His salvation is real. His keeping power is real. His forgiveness of sins is real. And Father, if there are any here who are not saved, I ask Thee to please to open up their eyes. Lord, even open up their eyes this evening. Let Thy word come forth with power and with life to them. And Lord, let them see the great need that they have of forgiveness of sins. And let them see that Christ is the one who offers complete forgiveness of sins. Freely. Father, I pray for us who are Thy children. May Thy word, as it's read and then spoken upon, may it encourage us. May we see afresh how much Thou dost love us. How much Thy Son loves us in dying and rising again for us. Father, I cannot create an anxious thought. But as Thou hast called me, I ask Thee, I plead with Thee. In the merits of Thy Son's shed blood and the prayers He's saying, let a work be done tonight that will last for all eternity. Let everyone here see Christ this evening. And may He be loved, trusted in, and obeyed. In Jesus' name I ask, and for His glory alone. Amen. Psalm 40, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. And we're told in the title that it was written by David to the chief musician. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. We'll end our reading there. at the end of verse 8. Quite often, whenever we come to God's Word, we can think that we've got a grasp of a certain passage. And then, after perhaps reading it several times, we read it just one time more. And something strikes us that we've never seen before in it. And this morning, whenever I was having a quiet time before the service here, I was sitting in my house in Cumber, and the Bible was sitting out in front of me. And I just happened to look at the title, what was written in the front of the Bible, and it says, Holy Bible. I began to think, why is that written in my Bible? Holy Bible. Then I began to think, well, the word Bible just means book. It's a Greek word. It's just a common word. Book. But yet the word holy comes from two words in the Greek. It comes from the word not, and it comes from the word earthly. And the word holy just simply means not earthly. And I realized afresh that this book is not common. This book is not of this earth. This book is heavenly. It's a living word. It's the living word of the living God. And as such, that's why whenever we read it, no matter how many times you read this book or you read a passage of Scripture, you could read it 1,000 times. You could hear it spoken on 1,000 times. And yet every time you read it or every time you hear it, something fresh comes to you through it. And if you're here and you're saved, you can say amen to that. That's true. But if you're here and you're not saved, perhaps you think, look, preacher, I've sat here and I've listened to God's Word lots of times. I've read it, parts of it, lots of times. I know the gospel. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Christ came down to this earth. I know that He died for me. I know that if I call upon Him, I'll be saved. I know the gospel. I tell you, perhaps as you, if that's what you know, you've certainly heard of the gospel many times. Can I tell you, while you may have a head knowledge of it, if you're not saved this evening, you certainly do not have a heart knowledge of it. You don't really know the gospel. You don't really know the good news that Christ is the Savior, the rescuer of men. You may have heard it 1,000 times, but I tell you, you don't really know it. And I challenge you, where you sit here, even this evening, I challenge you. You call out to God where you're sitting, and you say, God, speak to me. This man's saying that I don't know it. I don't know the gospel. Well, God, you show me right here, right now, what the gospel is. And I tell you this. You seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him. You seek His truth, and you'll find Him. I've read this psalm many times. And every time I've read it, I've seen in it David describing to us a trouble he was in. In verse 2, he says that he describes the trouble as a horrible pit. If you imagine a pit as a large black hole, say, for example, a well, and at the bottom of it, it's dark, it's damp, and it's miserable. Well, David describes the trouble that he's in as a horrible pit. That word horrible in the Hebrew means noisy. You imagine the noise of all that's happening on the ground above, being jumbled up and mixed with and echoing above and around him while he's in this pit. It's horrible, it's miserable. David also likens the trouble to a miry clay in verse 2. Perhaps he likened it to a mire or a bog, because a bog's something you sink into further and further and further and further into. Perhaps he likened it also to a clay, because it's like cement. He's stuck in it, and he can't get out of it. And whenever I read this psalm, I used to see David's testimony, how he was in this trouble, a horrible pit of miry clay. He was stuck in it. He was sinking further and further. But yet, he cried on to the Lord, as we read in verse 1. And that word cry in the Hebrew is an intense cry, an earnest cry. And we're told that the Lord inclined on to him and heard it. And as such, the Lord came down. He brought David up out of that horrible pit, up out of that miry clay, and he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. However, recently, I was reading through the book of Hebrews. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Now, keep your finger in Psalm 40. I'll be referring to it, and that's what I want to focus on. But if you turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10, we'll notice something very, very interesting. Hebrews chapter 10. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is speaking to Jewish Christians, and he's speaking about the ceremonial law, that law whereby God had commanded the Jews to offer up sacrifices to, whether it was lambs or bulls or goats, to slay them, to place them on an altar, for the blood to be shed and then collected, and then for the bodies to be taken away and destroyed. And the Apostle Paul speaking to these Jews about these ceremonial sacrifices, and he says in verse 3, "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." I.e., they were never effective. They never took away sins. Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," speaking of Jesus Christ, God the Son, "he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." If you notice in verses 5 through to 7, the Apostle Paul paraphrases Psalm 40. Verses 6 through to 8. Of Psalm 40. You turn back with me to Psalm 40, please. And this psalm, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, declares to these Jewish Christians, and he declares to you and me, that this psalm, yes, it was written and it was penned by David, but it refers primarily not to his own experience, but it refers to the experience of Jesus Christ, of God the Son, as he comes into this world. I wouldn't have believed it if someone had told me, unless it was so clearly stated in God's Word in Hebrews chapter 10. And I began to read this psalm in a different light, looking at it as the very words of God the Son. And as I read it, I saw again and again throughout this psalm the humility of God the Son. A man said that humility is where you not think less of yourself, i.e. you put yourself down. Humility is where you think less about yourself, where you put others, where you think of others. And I want this evening just to look at this psalm. And if you don't normally keep your Bible open during the preaching, can I strongly encourage you to look at this psalm with me, to open it up and to read it with me. Psalm 40, and I want to see the humility of God the Son. In verses 1 to 4, God the Son is speaking to men, and he declares to you and me the victory of his humility, and indeed the result of it. But now in verses 5 through to 17, he speaks to his Father. And he declares in verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." He gives praise to his Father. And then in verse 6, he declares the greatness of his humility. And that's what I want us to focus on, primarily, the greatness of God the Son's humility. You look with me at verse 6, and the first thing we'll see is the great submission that God the Son makes. Verse 6, God the Son speaking to his Father, and he says, Father, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Whenever we read Hebrews, we were told when God the Son spoke this. He spoke it when he cometh into the world. And God the Son, before he took upon himself that full humanity in Bethlehem, he looked down upon Israel, the land of Israel. He looked down upon Jerusalem. And he saw Jews fulfilling the sacrifice that God had commanded, offering the bulls, offering the goats, and all of it. But yet God the Son looked down upon many of those Jews, and he saw how many of them were trusting that it was their work. It was their offering up of the bulls and the goats. It was their slaying of it. It was their own works. It was their own sacrifice that would earn forgiveness with God. God the Son looks down upon them when he cometh into the world, and he says to his Father, Father, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, not for the forgiveness of sins. Then he says these words, mine ears hast thou opened. And what does that mean? Well, that little phrase, mine ears hast thou opened, is a picture that's taken from the Old Testament, where you had masters and servants. And at the end of every 50th year, the year of Jubilee, any servants that a master would have, the master would let the servants go free. And that servant would no longer have to serve his master, but would be able to live of his own accord, live for himself, live in freedom. But yet if a servant looked up to his master and in love for his master decided not to live for himself but to be a servant forever, the servant could come and say to the master, I want to be your servant for the rest of my life. In which case the master would take the ear off the servant and get an instrument to go to a door and bore a hole through it. And all men would know that that person, that servant, was a servant for the rest of their lives. Psalm 40, that word opened in verse 6, is the word bored in the Hebrew. It means the same thing. And you think about it. What was Jesus Christ saying? He says, Father, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Men and women, this evening, do you see the humility of God the Son? Do you see him stooping so low, submitting to his Father, and being his servant for you? He looks down upon you, and while you may not be offering up bulls and goats, yet you think that by your own works, by your own righteousness, that you're trying to earn favor with God. You see God the Son looking down upon you even this evening. And he sees how you've taken the mouth that he has given you to praise him with. And you've used that mouth to lie, to curse, to deceive, and to take his name up in blasphemy. To use his name loosely. Whenever you were singing earlier the praises of God, you weren't thinking upon the one to whom you were singing. Whenever you came to the name, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, you weren't really thinking upon Christ. You just used his name emptily. You just used his name in vain. God the Son looks down upon you. How you've used his name emptily. And he says, I will not hold one person guiltless that takes my name in vain. Do you see God the Son looking down upon you this evening and looking at the heart that he's given you to love him with? And yet your heart, you've loved yourself more than him. You've loved your own will more than him. You've loved your own desires, your own way more than him and his way. You see God the Son looking down upon you this evening and seeing how you have used the mind that He has given you to think upon Him, to think upon that which is pure, that which is perfect. And instead of that, you've used your mind to think upon that which is unclean. You've used your eyes to look at that which is filthy, that which is sinful in His sight. Do you see God the Son looking down upon you in all your wickedness and in all your rebellion? And yet what does He say? Father, sacrifice and offering I did not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Father, these men and these women, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Everlasting punishment is what they deserve. Wailing, gnashing of teeth, torments in the presence of the Lamb for all eternity. That's what they deserve. But Father, mine ears hast thou opened. I will be your servant forever. I will be that sacrifice. I will come into this world. I will take upon me their sins. And I will be their lamb. I will be their sacrifice. I will pay the debt for them, so that they can be rescued, so that they can be free. Do you see the humility of God the Son? He didn't have to do it, but yet He did. Verse 6, it goes on to tell us, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, behold, I come. Did you ever think, we hear it week in, week out in church, but did you ever think how lowly Christ had to stoop to take upon Himself a humanity? We've seen the great submission that Christ makes in submitting to His Father to be a servant forever. But here in verse 7, we see the great lowliness that He takes. He says, I, the one who am almighty. I, the one who upholds, who designed this entire universe and upholds it, every star and every planet, right down to every snail. I uphold everything with the word of my power. And yet, I come. I come down to this earth to take upon myself a full humanity. And I, as God the Son, will become a man. I, the one who am almighty, will be carried, will be changed, will be fed by a young virgin. I, the one who am all holy, the one who hates sin and is grieved at it, as I walk amongst this earth, I will dwell amongst men. Whether I look straight ahead to my left or to my right, I will see constantly the thoughts of men. I will see their thoughts of lust. I will see their thoughts of ignorance. I will see their thoughts of arrogance, of selfishness, and of greed. And no matter where I look, I'll be constantly grieved in my spirit. As I see the sin of men, and as I dwell amongst the presence of sin, daily, every moment of every day, lo, behold, I come. In the volume of the book that's been written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God. And you know, while Jesus Christ and God the Son stooped so low, yet He did not do it because He was forced to. He did it because He wanted to. He did not do it out of duty. He did it out of delight. Men and women, do you see God the Son becoming man for you? He didn't have to, but yet he did it. Verse 9, it tells us, as well, of course, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about how Jesus Christ, as he walked amongst this earth, he declared to men the righteousness of his Father. He declared to men that his Father is perfect, his Father is holy, his Father is pure. And as such, men and women, whenever you compare yourselves to God the Father, you will see how far you fall short. You will see that your works, your righteousness, it's not perfect. You will see how many times you sinned. You will see how far you fall short. My Father's standard of my Father's perfection. Some people will say, well, is that not awfully harsh for God the Son to walk amongst earth and declare that? I'll tell you, it's not harsh, it's love. Because he didn't refrain his lips. He didn't hold back anything that was needful for his people and for his creatures. He told them everything that they needed to know. Why? So that they would see more so than they ever have the great need that they have. For salvation. The great need that they have for forgiveness. And verse 10 of Psalm 40 tells that God the Son did not only tell men and women about the righteousness of his Father, but he declared to them the faithfulness and the salvation of God, his Father, and his loving kindness. Jesus Christ, God the Son, told men that they had fallen short. Told men that they deserved hell. However, he told them that his Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ didn't have to do it. He didn't have to submit to his Father. He didn't have to stoop so low in coming down to this earth. He didn't have to tell men, but yet he did. What humility. Thinking of his Father, thinking of his people. What love he's shown. Verses 11 through to 17, we saw not only his submission and his lowliness, but we see the great punishment that he takes. See, the Gospels record for us how God the Son, after he had been in this earth for 33 years, how he allowed himself to be arrested, to be brought before the Jewish court of the Sanhedrin. And there false witnesses would rise up against Jesus Christ and would lie about him, call him a sinner. And yet God, think about it. God, God Almighty, stood there and he allowed men to stand up and to call him a sinner, to blaspheme him to his face. He was without sin. We're then told about how men covered his eyes and covered his face. So he was blindfolded. And men would get their hands and they'd slap the side of his face again and again and again. He would then be taken. God the Son would then be taken to be brought before the Romans. And there he stood before the pesky governor, Pontius Pilate. One whom God the Son had actually appointed to that place, given him that sovereign, given him that control as governor. And yet Pontius Pilate, given such a privilege and such an honor, he abused it. And he turned round and looked to God the Son and condemned him to be crucified. God the Son allowed it to happen. he would then be taken by soldiers and he'd be scourged. And scourging is where men would take leather straps or a leather whip, and at the edge of that leather whip there would be pieces of metal and pieces of glass in it. And there the soldiers would get the whip and they would hurl it into the back of the victim. Here, hurl it into the back of God the Son and then pull it out so his flesh would be torn. And then they would get the whip again and fling it in again and hung it out again. Up to 39 times. And we're told in the book of Isaiah the appearance of Christ, of God the Son, was marred more than any other man. He didn't have to do it, but yet he did. A wooden cross would then be placed upon that mutilated back. He had been forced to carry it. And then arriving at Golgotha's hill, there his hands would be nailed into that cross. A crown of thorns would be placed in his brow and forced in. Can you see it? Look away from yourself. Look up and see Christ. Hung there on that cross all those years ago, 2,000 years ago. His blood flows down from his head. It flows down from his hands. It flows down from his back. It flows down from his feet. Precious, pure blood. The Bible tells that while he hung on that cross, darkness fell upon the whole earth as he took upon himself all the sins of his people. Do you see it this evening? The great punishment that he takes. Do you see him taking upon himself all your sin, all your lies, all your idolatry, all your filthiness, all of your wickedness, all your immoral thoughts, every single one? Every moment of them, taking them upon himself, hanging on that cross with his blood flowing down, he pays the full wrath of his Father for it. Earlier he had said, "Sacrifice and offering, Father, thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened." While he hung on that cross, he needed the Father's help. You see, God the Son is almighty. He is infinite in his power and his strength. But because he submitted himself to his Father, he needed the help of his Father to fulfill the Father's will. And here in verse 11, we read Christ calling out to his Father. And he says, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Why? "For innumerable evils have come past me about, mine iniquities." He is without sin, but yet he takes upon himself all the sins of his people, and he bears them. And he says, "Mine iniquities, these iniquities that I bear, have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." See the anguish, the pain, the struggle that Christ went through. The Bible tells us that while Christ hung on that cross, there were men who walked around and they looked up at God the Son and they mocked and they said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross." They were laughing away at him, mocking him. And I have no doubt that while men mocked him, the powers of hell were there too and they mocked him. Satan himself, looking up at God the Son, seeing him hang there with his blood flowing down, saying, "Aha, aha, I've got the victory over you now. Your mouth silenced. You're no longer proclaiming to men salvation. I've got the victory. Verse 14, God the Son says to his Father, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek me rejoice and be glad in me. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Father, let you be magnified. Let your will be done. Let the salvation of men be accomplished. Let this great debt of sin that I am paying more and more and more and sinking further and further and further into it, Father, let the depth of it be reached. Let your justice be satisfied. Let this horrible pit, let this noisy pit be satisfied. Let the salvation of all your people be accomplished. Father, be magnified. He finishes verse 17 by saying, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thy heart my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Some people think that whenever Jesus Christ cried out to his Father, that immediately his Father always answered. It's not true. His Father always heard the cry of his Son, but he didn't always immediately answer. You think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Before Christ went to the cross, he went into that garden, and we're told that his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. His soul was in great anguish. And he cried out to his Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then he came back to his disciples, and he told his disciples to pray, and he went again a second time, and he prayed again, with great intensity and great earnest, crying to his Father. He then came back again to his disciples. Then he went again the third time. In the book of Matthew, we're told that he prayed the same words. He said the same words again and again. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And I've no doubt that while Christ is on that cross, as he cried to his Father, Father, help me. Father, deliver me. Father, drive them back that wish me evil. Father, be magnified and let the salvation of all your people be accomplished. Help me. He had to wait for those 3 hours until he is able to cry out, it is finished. Praise God, as we've seen the greatness of God the Son's humility, let me just finish by stating the victory of his humility. You look with me at verse 1. God the Son's now speaking to us, to you and I. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. But, oh, what wonderful words. But he inclined on to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. God the Son hung on that cross, but he cried out, it is finished. The great debt is paid. And he, after dying, he rose again from the dead. And he ascended back up to heaven. And no longer is he paying for the sin of men. No longer is he sinking into that miry clay. No longer is he in that horrible pit where men are laughing and mocking him. But he now stands in heaven, or sits in heaven on the rock of God's justice. It's satisfied. And he says that his Father has put a song in his mouth, a song of praise. And he says that many shall see it and fear. That word fear means to revere. Stand in awe. And shall trust. Can I ask you this evening, as you have seen what Christ has declared to his Father, do you see his love for you? Do you see him submitting to his Father? He's equal with his Father, but yet he submitted to him. He stoops so low to take upon himself a full humanity and be fully God and fully man. To be a servant forever. Do you see him taking all of your sin upon himself? Didn't have to. But yet he cried out and he says, "It's finished." He finishes off with verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Don't listen to those who say, "Oh, I'm good enough." Don't listen to those who say, "Oh, I can get saved tomorrow. I can get saved another time." No, blessed is that man that maketh right here, right now, the Lord his trust. Will you? Will you come to Christ? In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 45, he says these words, "Look on to me. Look on to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none beside me." Will you look on to Christ this evening? See that you can't do anything to earn God's favor. The blood of bulls and goats will never take away sin. But look and see Christ, the one who does take away sin. Look on to him. Leave all your sin and trust him. And he will save you. What will you do? Walking out those doors this evening, what will you do? Will you come? Will you look upon Christ and be saved? Don't reject him. He commands you this evening, look unto me and be ye saved. And I can tell you, he will save you. Amen.
In prayer, thank you, brother, for bringing the word of God to our hearts tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast been lifted up in this meeting. And thou hast said that I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And Father, we pray that in our Savior becoming lowly, full of humility, thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. Having gone to Calvary's tree, as has been painted vividly for us, we thank thee that he died an atoning death for me. May souls come to Christ. May they call upon him for salvation and be saved. Answer the cry of our hearts. Answer the cry of thy Son. Apply his work unto lives, hearts, and minds tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.